It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right. Hope everybody's having a great weekend. It's almost over. But tomorrow we got Halloween. All right. Get the candy, chocolate, and the doorbell ringing over and over and over. But those kids, shaving cream, eggs. Did you all truly believe that when you were a kid? That there were some very horrible people out there that would put razor blades in the apples. Did you really believe that? My parents put a good scare into me. If anything is remotely open, do not eat it. Do not eat fruit. Even though it could be a beautifully looking orange or an apple, do not eat it. So, the ECW sign, no joke. I had a disaster here Saturday afternoon. Bunch of panels came tumbling down and, you know, from trying to temporarily fasten them once in a while using this stuff, 3M super adhesive, you know, after a while, the adhesive starts wearing out and I couldn't reattach everything. So I've been wanting to put that up for a while and I kind of got the idea, you know what, let me put it up today, see how it looks. I got to be honest with you, it looks pretty good, so I probably just leave it like that. I mean, I tell you the truth, I was thinking about slowly getting rid of the backdrop and just keeping a couple of things, you know, on tap because, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, people need to understand too. If you are ever offered to be a guest appearance on a particular show, especially if it's a wrestling company, if you got rival stuff in the background, that probably diminishes your chances. In fact, somebody told me that a while ago. You know, you should just leave like general stuff up there. Self-promotion doesn't really work all that well either, but it'll do for now. It'll do. So, everybody, I hope you're having a great weekend. You know, today was a very emotional day for the Don Tony family, the de Blasio family. 10 years ago today, October 30th, 2012, Superstorm Sandy hit our area, and it devastated my family. You know, I have talked about it for 10 years. Very few people that were on my Patreon page actually got to see some of the damage, but I never made it public. Just very, very raw, very emotional. You know, to think 24 hours earlier, you know, I'm standing in front of the house with my parents, you know, thinking that we're just going to get mud, a little bit of water coming in, nothing, you know, really to worry about. And 24 hours later, my place is gone. My father's house, they put a big red X on it. My father became suicidal. My father never left that house. For about 4 months, he basically would lock himself in his room at night with a gun. And basically, if anybody dared to try to loot his house or destroy it further, he was going to blow people away. My mother lived with me for about 3 months. And keep in mind, I only started dating my wife 2 weeks before. So imagine having a new relationship, trying to get a little bit of action, and your mom is sleeping on an air mattress in the next room. You know, Anthony, why is that TV so loud? But here, true story. They put a big red X, my father's house. That my father worked his entire life for that. This was my father's goal to have a house on the beach. And, you know, FEMA doesn't do much of anything. Insurance only pays so much. And my father, through his connections, legit, in the middle of the night, he got a bunch of construction guys and cranes, and they literally lifted part of the house and put like piles and cement and stuff underneath blocks to try to keep it level to see if he could get a stay, a temporary stay, and have the building department change their mind about taking the house down. The cops showed up at around 3 o'clock in the morning. The fuck is going on here? And my dad, you know, I don't know what he said to the cops that night, but this was his life. Without this, he has nothing. And they said, you have 24 hours. And they saved his house. And they are still living there to this day. But I'll tell you this much, no joke. My parents did not leave that house 10 years ago tonight. I left. I took my dog and went here. I didn't stay over there. And to be honest with you, if I would have stood in my place, I would have been dead. I would have been dead. And it's not even an exaggeration. I would have been dead. The water came in so fast and so violently, there would have been no place for me to escape. If I would have stood in the first floor with my parents, I would have survived. But I could only imagine the torment they went through as they locked themselves in their bedroom with the bird, with Freddie, and the storm just doing what it was doing. I can only imagine what that's like to have your house filled with 6 feet of water, you know. It's, and I'm talking about 6 feet on the second floor. First floor was gone. So later on, when you all feel like it, I'm going to share with you footage that I recorded 10 years ago, October 31st, 2012. And it is eerie, and it is in real time, and you will actually see me driving up to their house. First reaction. And my father at the time, you know, I edited it out a couple of times. Like, the fuck you recording for? Turn that shit off. Now, 10 years later, we realize, you know, why it was very important to document it. So you're going to see that footage later if you want to see it. It's surreal. It'll blow your mind. Then you'll realize also that everything I've talked about the last 10 years were true. So, but for now, let's have some fun. The Sit Down With Yours Truly, we do this pretty much every Sunday night. I show up pretty much with a blank piece of paper. I know the other side is writing on it, but, and whatever is on your mind, that is what we're going to talk about. If you're going to post a question in the chat room, write in capital letters question so I could spot it easier. If you have a comment that you want me to share with everyone, write the word comment before your comment. Super chats are not required. They are always appreciated, and they will always get VIP priority status. And as I'm looking at two of the three, well, one of them really, I see a little bit of controversy. We'll hold off on the controversy. But let's open this up with Lascelles Williams with a 10 spot. Did I see the PWI Women's Top 150? Yes, I did. Tomorrow, by the way, tomorrow, not only are we going to do a recap of the Halloween edition of Raw, the go-home edition of Raw, leading into Crown Jewel, but tomorrow we're also going to do predictions for Crown Jewel. No reason for us to wait four or five days to do. We're going to do them tomorrow. SmackDown is already taped for this Friday. We know what the spoilers are. The only thing that we are waiting on coming out of Raw tomorrow night, October 31st, is if Seth Rollins is going to take on Mustafa Ali at Crown Jewel. He's gotta. Because Crown Jewel, Mansoor, Ali, one of them has got to be on the card. Saudi Arabia wants to, you know, praise those guys. So you know one or both are going to get a match. So tomorrow, they make that official. That's the only match that's going to be added. Right now, we have seven matches. If they add that one, we will have eight. So tomorrow, we're going to recap Raw, and we'll do predictions for Crown Jewel. But I'm going to also get into this PWI Top 150 a little bit. I skimmed through it, and for those that did not see the list, I think number one was Sayuri of Stardom, and number two was Bianca Belair. Last year, number one was Bianca Belair, and last year was their first ever Top 150 women. This is only the second year of them doing it. My immediate reaction is Sayuri is one of the most talented Japanese women wrestlers today. Is she on the level of Asuka? It's a different style, but I have seen some of her work, and it would be really interesting if she were to come to the States. If she were to go to AEW, I don't know who really she could go toe-to-toe with and put on one of those memorable matches. Maybe Serena Deeb, maybe Hikaru Shida. Nothing against the other women, but I'm just thinking of the styles. I don't even know if Riho, you know, I don't know if the fans would get into it as much, but she is one talented woman. Should she be number one in my opinion? No, no. Because 99.9%, well, I shouldn't say that high, but I would say 95% of wrestling fans out there have never seen a Sayuri match. And when you're doing a PWI, especially when their guidelines are not only in-ring achievement, which is predetermined if you really think about it, but, you know, they say the influence on the sport, the quality of competition, and, you know, the influence on the sport. I mean, in my opinion, you look at the last 12 months, Bianca Belair, you know, if Sayuri deserves to be number one, she should be a household name. If she is this good and this influential, if you had PWI Japan, yeah, she's number one. But as far as worldwide, even though these people are not the greatest WWE fans that work in PWI, even though they obviously favor AEW big time, look at last year in case you forgot. So obviously this is more about pleasing, you know, the alternative instead of being strictly unbiased. Because look, if you're the Yankees and you have the highest batting average and the lowest ERA in pitching and you have the most wins, the most hits, you know, you're in the clutch, you're whipping everything else, you know, and you have that for 2 years straight, you know, even though you don't like it, you got to give the Yankees their due. Bianca Belair is the Yankees. And this is obviously PWI trying to spread it around. That's not their job. Their job is not to spread this shit around. Sayuri, I could see number three, four, maybe even five, but not number one. Not number one. Byron Cutler, he thinks the Elimination Chamber, by the way, thank you, LaSalle, should be replaced by No Way Out and Money in a Bank ladder match to go to WrestleMania. Well, believe it or not, Byron, here, cheap plug. This Thursday, 8.05 p.m., yours truly, JD from New York. It is happening. The behind-the-scenes stuff is being ironed out as far as technical. But Thursday, we are going to get into some really deep conversation. You will definitely hear some difference of opinion. It might get intense. It might get heated. But I respect the guy, he respects me, and we are friends, and at the end of the day, we toast each other. We want to entertain you to the fucking fullest. But what we have decided to do is rather than read people's questions individually, we decided to come up with a list of topics that we're going to discuss and debate. Some topics we may agree on, majority of them we don't. But the reason why we did that is because I apparently pissed off some people last week. When I said in passing last week that, you know, we're going to get into some questions that were sent in, and if we don't read yours, do not be offended. And some people started trying to play like political points, like I'm your biggest supporter and, you know, I'd be very offended if you didn't send my question. It's about pleasing everyone. It's not about pleasing an individual person. So this is the list of topics that we are going to discuss. And as you will see on that list towards the bottom, WWE is trimming back a little bit on their premium live events in 2023. And some of the gimmicked theme events are going away. Early reports are that Hell in a Cell will no longer be a yearly pay-per-view. Hell in a Cell will be used as a match when needed. And that is very smart. See, the difference between Triple H and Vince McMahon right now is Vince McMahon has to put a lot of pomp and circumstance in an advertisement. When we talk about Saudi Arabia, what about the first ever this? What about the greatest this? What about the unbelievable, most important of all time this? Tell me more! And that's how you sell it. Basically, by Triple H removing the Hell in a Cell theme, Triple H wants to put a Hell in a Cell match at Extreme Rules, he can. If he wants to put a Hell in a Cell match at Money in the Bank, he can. If he wants to put a Hell in a Cell match at No Way Out, wait, do we even have a No Way Out anymore? If he has at the Royal Rumble, he can. If he wants to do it on any pay-per-view premium live event during the year, he can. Based on the rivalry. Based on the rivalry. Based on the feud. If you feel it. If everybody is into it, you know, maybe Rollins Riddle could have benefited from Hell in a Cell. You know, maybe another feud could benefit from Hell in a Cell. Oh, but Hell in a Cell is not for another 6 months. How are we going to keep this feud going for 6 months? Well, you pull the trigger now. So I like it. I like it. Obviously, you need to keep some theme events because it is an advertising ploy. You know, I personally would keep some. But Hell in a Cell, it's more about the feud of the day, the emotion, you know, that intensity. You know, you could feel it. Do I think Liv Morgan and Sonya Deville could ultimately have a Hell in a Cell? No. But the point is, let's say Liv Morgan, for example, gets into this really deep feud with someone and everybody's into it and everybody's feeling it. And the violence is really, suspension of disbelief is coming across on your TV. Then you're like, okay, you know what? Let's do a Hell in a Cell match next month. You don't have to wait until the theme pay-per-view. So, yeah, now some people are like, bring back No Way Out. Well, No Way Out, it's not a theme. You know, it's something that we remember. We remember the matches. We remember the moments. You know, my favorite one was, who am I when I do this?
The NWO.
When Vince was in the front of the mirror, acting, putting on a performance of his life, turns around and we have NWO sprayed on the chair. I almost want to do that. I almost want to buy white spray paint and spray NWO in the back of the chair. Problem is, if it drips, I'm fucked. Can't take it off the chair. So, all right. So make sure you join us this Thursday. It is going to be fucking phenomenal. Fucking phenomenal. Shout out to Puffy89. Thank you for the five spot, brother. Happy Halloween, Happy Halloween Eve, DT. Quick Halloween question. Do I have a favorite Havoc or wrestling event of all time? Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero, favorite match of all time. You know, it's funny. There is a montage floating around on social media right now. And the most amazing thing about the montage, and I'm sure you've probably clicked on it over the last 7 days, it's about a two-minute montage of that match. And for some reason, they left out the DDT off the top rope. The DDT that Ray hit on Eddie, it's not even in that montage. I'm like, how do you put this together and you don't put that in there? It's just, it's mind-boggling. That's my favorite. Cactus Jack. Cactus Jack, when he was feuding with Sting at the time. You know, I have always loved Halloween Havoc. I'll always remember Eric Bischoff dressed up as Dracula. There's some wild moments with Halloween. Halloween Havoc is an awesome page. I wish WWE would take a page of what ECW did back in the 90s. For a couple of Halloweens, they actually had wrestlers dressed up as each other. Now, NXT over the weekend did that at a house show with the women, but they didn't portray each other. Somebody dressed up as AJ Lee. Somebody dressed up as, I can't remember some of the other, but they were cosplaying women mostly of yesteryear. I think Thea Hale cosplayed as Andre Chase because they're all both in Chase University. But, you know, I want to see role reversal. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to have two people wrestling tomorrow on Raw, have them change outfits. If you could. I mean, obviously, I don't think Riddle's going to be able to wear Otis's gear, but he might be able to fit into Chad Gable's. You know? So, but yeah, those two come to mind right away, Puffy 89. Those two come to mind. All right, little controversy. Little controversy. I'm a little late with this one, but Ronnie C, thank you for the $9.99. Did I see the Twitter war? JD from New York had today with Jade Cargill, Britt Baker, Ty Conti, and other women on the AEW roster. I saw it. You sent this super chat about an hour before I went live. So I went on his Twitter and I saw it. My honest take, and for those that are not aware of this, Wednesday on Dynamite to have a Jade Cargill versus Marina Shafir. Okay. We're not going to talk about their in-ring work or not. But I'll say this. JD's reaction last week to the announcement of this match was three simple words. Oh, God, no. Apparently today, Jade Cargill really jumped all over JD about that remark. Britt Baker, Ty Conti, as Ronnie is saying. I think some other women chimed in as well. I have not had the chance yet to really read everybody's remarks. But if JD happens to see this, my immediate spur in a moment, I have not seen everything. My honest take is this. Brother, if you didn't have a blue check mark, brother, if you didn't have 150,000 followers, they would have ignored anything you said. You have power. You have influence. And guess what? You know, whether you're right or you're wrong in this argument, there's a lot of people that will follow how you feel. And that is pressure, big pressure for Marina Shafir, Jay Cargill, anyone else that this pertains to. So your words matter, and that's why they all jumped all over you. You know, it's weird. It's weird when people, you know, who are subject to criticism, whether it's a critic or a fan or a hater or a supporter, I mean, everybody has a right to their opinion. But this is the thing that gets me as far as what I've seen so far. JD is not required to be a fan of any of those women or anyone else. And the thing is, oh God, no. You know, I mean, to really spark that kind of anger, I just think it's wrong on a women's part. I mean, if there's compiled frustration towards JD with those women, okay, fine. But, you know, let's also be honest. This excuse that a lot of wrestlers say, well, why don't you get in the ring and you see how fucking hard it is? Nobody is discrediting how hard anybody in wrestling works. But I can't turn around and then I bat 150 in Major League Baseball and everybody is booing me. And I say, why don't you fucking drive up and down the road on a bus? Why don't you fucking swing the bat 50,000 times in the cage? Why don't you fucking, you know, go through what I've gone through and you tell me how it feels? You're still batting 150. So I don't buy this argument anymore that, you know, oh, why don't you get in the ring and see? Because Bubba Ray did that to me 10 years ago with TNA. Why don't you get in the ring and see how it feels? My answer was, yeah, I've been in the ring. And it fucking hurts. And it sucks. And I couldn't do it anymore. You know, and the crap that I did. But the point is that if something is subpar, you know, address that. Why are these people criticizing it? Why do so many people flock and say, oh, I don't want to see that? Yeah, look at Braun Strowman. Look at Braun Strowman. I see so many people online that are angry when Braun Strowman is on TV. I'm a fan of Braun Strowman. I think he's doing a fucking great job. Not every wrestler has to have 5-star, 4-star, even 3-star matches on the Meltzer rating. You know, maybe some people out there love the in-ring technical, you know, abilities of people. But guess what? Pro wrestling is also storyline. Pro wrestling is also emotion. Pro wrestling is a lot of different things. You're not required to be this unbelievable wrestler. You're supposed to just entertain me. You know, this is a form of entertainment. It is sports and it's entertainment. And however you interpret that is your right. There is no one-stop shopping in the world of pro wrestling. You know, I've always been a fan of Bill Goldberg. I remember 1998 and how surreal it was with him. And you look back on it, I used to do a hotline in the 90s, and I had arguments with a guy who was trying to say Andre the Giant was one of the worst wrestlers in the history of wrestling. And WrestleMania 3 is one of the worst matches of all time. You think we fucking cared? Like the wrestling ability that night? You think when Andre did some of the things, you think we were at home like, ugh. No. We were fucking losing our shit. So I personally, my honest opinion, and it's not because JD's a friend. It's not because he's coming on Thursday. But, you know, this gang mentality that happens a lot on social media, you know, it's almost like the women in this case, you know, they're sticking up for each other. And that's totally noble of them. And that's cool to see the women backing each other. But with all due respect, where's a lot of this women when the shit came out about Thunder Rosa? Where was a lot of these women when shit came out about others? You know, all right, it's some of your friends. But, you know, when shit like this happens, it's kind of proving a lot of other people's stuff right. And look, you know, Marina Shafir versus Jay Cargill, you're going to have some people that are going to be LFG. Let's fucking go. I can't wait for it. It's going to be good. I'm going to love it. You're going to have some people that are going to say, oh, God, no. And instead of, you know, trying to almost shun those people into silence, maybe you should ask yourself, why are people saying, oh, God, no? If it's jealousy, then those women keep doing what you're doing. But if it's because, you know, one or both are not very entertaining in the ring or don't deserve to be prime time, you know, I don't care how many hours you work. I don't care, you know, what you think you are. And I'm not saying that about Jade or Marina Shafir. I defend Marina Shafir on these shows. I defended that You Don't Know Me promo. Remember that night? It's there. I don't do it for a like. I don't do it for a retweet. I don't do it for a DMA. Thank you for the kind words. No, I'm just expressing my opinion. So I think it was a little bit unfair of how they went up after JD. But JD also needs to know that with power comes this. Don't change. Don't change yourself. Keep doing what you're doing. So hope somebody sends this clip to him. You know, don't change. You know, don't feel like you did something wrong. Don't feel like you owe anything to anybody. You know, this is going to come with the territory. So, all right. Tristan, what did I think of the Yeti? It was a joke. The Yeti was not a regular character. It was, you know, at the time they put him out there, the Yeti, you know, it's not a character. So, all right. Dash 8, do I think WWE should hire CM Punk, put him with Cody as a tag team and call him the EVPs? No. I see some people already fantasizing CM Punk at WrestleMania. What has happened in the last week towards CM Punk is fucking awful. I have not always defended CM Punk. I'm still blocked by CM Punk. I thought the block was removed. I was wrong. But I defended him with this media scrum. Sure, it was maybe not the right place for him to air what he did. But that was his only shot and probably the only shot by a lot of people out there. There's a lot of people within AEW that praised what CM Punk did. Problem is, those people don't have the power. I said from day one, in the end, the EVPs will win out. And Tony Khan is an extension of those EVPs. Tony Khan is not a victim here. Tony Khan, in a lot of ways, is echoing. The problem is, Tony Khan watches. You know what Tony Khan's biggest problem right now, everyone, is? And I'm sure you've probably thought about this at some point, but the sad thing is nobody talks about it. Jim Cornette might be the only one that brings this up. Tony Khan loves wrestling so much that he thinks he could sign someone and give wrestling fans great matches, great entertainment. He will. The problem is you have to also put into play how people work with others behind the scenes, their attitudes, you know, the way they go about their business. And in the world of pro wrestling, there are people who do not get along with others. And you can't just turn around and say, fuck WWE, and that brings everyone together. And the thing is that, you know, when there's that clash behind the scenes, sooner or later you're going to have problems. So that is Tony Khan's number one problem. He's thinking about the wrestling matches and the fantasy before thinking about, how's this guy going to be around with these prima donnas? Or, you know, what about these people who leak all this stuff on social media? You know, so that's his biggest problem right now. Sometimes someone is an awesome wrestler, but their attitude sucks. And as a result, you know, that person loses probably opportunity because of it. Rocky Red with a comment. As much as praise, cheer, and giving Sami Zayn his flowers, we should also do the same for R-Truth after this week. Oh, we all love R-Truth. R-Truth is the gift that keeps on giving, man. That guy's in a time capsule. I think some people forget how old he is, how long he's been wrestling. Thank God that we are so far removed from the days of him with Pac-Man Jones. R-Truth is a Hall of Famer. R-Truth doesn't have... See, this is why R-Truth is still able to wrestle. He doesn't have to put on 4-star matches. He doesn't have to wrestle 100 times a year. He goes out there, does his rap, maybe does a little bit here and there, and he clicks with the fans. R-Truth is the quintessential example. He can wrestle. Motherfucker is an awesome wrestler. He doesn't have to. It's not because he's lazy. It's not because he doesn't want to give the fans what they want. It's because his role in pro wrestling is to put smiles on people's faces. And it doesn't require always having to wrestle. R-Truth is exactly what I was saying before. You know, if someone is not very good as a wrestler, but they click with the fans, that's fine. That's fine. There is a balance there. Oh, believe me, everyone, mostly everyone, beloves R-Truth. I still remember one time, it's got to be 20 years, guys. We were outside a wrestling event in, I think it was Astoria, and R-Truth came out to us, and he's like, yo, anybody got a Marlboro? And I remember Matt Zombie gave him, I don't know if it was a Newport, but he gave him something else. Like, yo, I guess this is going to have to do. And yeah, R-Truth was bumming cigarettes off of us. R-Truth is pleasure, man. Much love. Much love. Dream. Dream 101 with the two spot. Thank you. The Schism is a cheap version of the Judgment Day. I wholeheartedly disagree. The Judgment Day is starting to turn more into like bikers, goth, you know, deep. The Schism is more of just psychological. You know, the Judgment Day is not really psychological. Joe Gacy is playing a role as a manipulator. He's got a couple of people who look up to him in, you know, the dyad. And now you have Ava Rain as part of that. It's nothing like Judgment Day. Just because you got three guys and a girl doesn't mean that it's like Judgment Day because you got three guys and a girl. That sounds like an awful name for a movie. An awful name for a movie, Dirty Minds. But no, it's nothing like the Judgment Day. Everything is its own. That's why I got so freaking mad at Brody King. I get so mad, like, why even go there towards Edge? You know, like, Edge is one of those guys that doesn't, like, criticize others and, you know, oh, you know, they're a Wish version of House of Black. It's not, man. You know, but no, Schism is, you know, other than three guys and a girl, they don't have anything in common, in my opinion. And remember this, too. Remember this, too. You know, this is developmental. So everything is test, 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 test. And some things are going to work and some things are not. And, you know, will this go further and end up on, you know, in some way on the main roster? It could. It could, but you could see what WWE thinks Joe Gacy's future is. Joe Gacy's future is this psychological, maniacal manipulator, you know, that's, it's not focused on, right? That's why I hate when he does that Tajiri thing, when he goes upside down off of that Raw, I forget what it's called. It looks not very good. And I don't understand. I know Joe Gacy probably loves doing it and he probably has fun doing it. And he probably is like, oh, cool, I could do it. Doesn't mean that he should. I'm a big fan of Joe Gacy, but some of his wrestling, his choice of moves needs to change. I think in time it will. I mean, it's impressive, man. It's impressive, but it's not needed on his part. So, gentle on James. Thank you for the 5 spot, my friend. If Stone Cold burst into my room, kicked me, stunned me, flipped me off and left, would I press charges or let it go because it's Austin? He's another one that has me blocked. He has me blocked. Oh, my God. I might have the Guinness World Record of the longest block by anybody. I have been blocked in life by Steve Austin because of my friendship with his ex-girlfriend, Tess Broussard. Oh, boy. That was fucked up. I mean, look, I have changed my views in some ways over the years, but my friendship with Tess Broussard and that interview I did with her, that was controversial, man. That was controversial. In hindsight, do I believe every accusation that she made? No. Some of the accusations were criminal. Ever since then, I am, you know, off limits. So if he showed up at my house, I would probably shit bricks because I would think that, you know, this is a receipt for the Tess Broussard interview, you know. But I personally think if he showed up, stunned me, you know, kicked me, stunned me, gave me the bird and left, I would have just probably raced and hoped that my security cameras caught it. Because I would probably want to show it to everyone. Look, everyone, I got my ass kicked from Steel. I wouldn't press charges. No, I wouldn't press charges. I probably would, you know, be like, wow, that was fucking awesome, man. I'd probably be like putting ice on my eye or something, but I probably would have thought it was awesome. I wouldn't press charges against him. But that interview, look, man, that interview was what, 17 years ago? Maybe more? It was right at the time where he left WWE TV and then got arrested. So, you know, just think at that time and then this happens. And the only reason why that interview didn't like surface everywhere is because of everyone's displeasure of yours truly. So, and I'm kind of glad of reflection. All right. Let's see. Rams fan is asking, why does Cody have to come back for the Royal Rumble? Can he wait until the day after? Sure, he could come back whenever. But, you know, I still bring up, what was it, 2006? The Royal Rumble when John Cena showed up as number 30? I know I've told this story tons of times over the years, but I'll tell it once again now. I was in my house with a bunch of indie wrestlers, and we were watching the Royal Rumble, having pizza, hanging out, and John Cena at that time, you know, mixed bag as far as fan reaction, including people that wrestled. When John Cena came out as number 30, everybody in my house, they were cosplaying as probably 10-year-old wrestling fans popping. Everybody jumped out of their chair. Holy shit. Everybody fucking loved it. And it's a memory, a moment that you'll never forget. Maybe on a lower level, but AJ Styles. What was he? Came out number 3 in the Royal Rumble? I haven't thought about his appearance in the Royal Rumble in ages. But if I'm right and he came out number 3, see how you remember moments like that? So, you know, moments with the Royal Rumble can live in infamy. So if Cody Rhodes returns at the Royal Rumble, if that is going to be one of those moments to remember for years to come, he has to win the Royal Rumble as well. Returning is cool. Remember when Kevin Nash returned at the Royal Rumble? I remember. And it was fucking fun. but he didn't win. So it was, you know, nostalgia, but it didn't have the same feeling. So me, Cody Rhodes, I've said it since his injury. I think he comes back for the Royal Rumble. And I'm not changing my view on that. I think he comes back for the Royal Rumble. So we shall see. Austin Nance, shout out to you, my friend. Thank you for the $1.50. I will be buying myself nice hot pot bean coffee tomorrow. And thank you for always handling the helm here with chaos. And much love to you, my friend. Hope everything is good with you. So thank you, my friend. Bailey Josh, 813. Sounds like a bingo chip. 813. What do I think about the video of someone sent an NXT promo message to the WWE Performance Center and called himself or herself Scripps? Have I seen the video? I have not seen the video. I will definitely watch the video tonight and give you my thoughts on it. You know, when I think about Performance Center and I think about people cutting promos and sending it, you know, if you all are new to my shows and never heard of Piss Milk Shit Guy or Piss Shit Milk Guy, be warned. Be warned. If you Google it, I'll give you a small synopsis on who this is if you don't want to Google it. That is, his last name was Montalvo. He was the one that got shot at the Performance Center a few years ago. And, you know, used to show up and is, you know, unfortunately he's mentally ill. I am so ecstatic that we have not heard about any incidents since, but I always truly felt that this is a tragedy waiting to happen. Something, you know, terminal, something. It just, what that guy used to do was crazy, man. I mean, it was funny at first until he got shot. And we covered him before he got shot. We never in a million years ever thought it would come to that. But, you know, WWE changed a lot of their security since then. And look, I think what happened with their procedure with NXT now is more because of COVID, but I think it's also because of what happened to Montalvo. Sick. But I personally think, look, if somebody's going to record a promo and wants to send it to WWE, you know, just send it the right way. You know, you send it, even if you put it on a little thumb drive or an SD disc, whatever it is, burn it on a CD and send it to them by mail. You know, you probably will never hear a phone call back. But if you do something under weird circumstances, even if you are unbelievably talented, you know, the circumstances surrounding how you did it is probably going to prevent you from ever even being recognized. You know, some people try to go way over the top to try to get noticed. And usually, even if you are really fucking talented, the opposite happens. You know, look, even with podcasting. Even with podcasting. Soulfly says it's a real thing. It was on NXT. It was a segment. So if it's a segment, then, you know, it's probably not just a random fan going out there and doing it. I'll look into it. Look, I'm not going to speculate here. If it's just a storyline segment and everything, I'll watch it and I'll give you my thoughts Wednesday. I'll definitely comment on it Wednesday. But, you know, as far as even just in general, though, as far as people trying to get noticed, you know, how many of you out there? How many of you out there? I can name at least three women right now. How many of you out there see these women who want to get interview jobs for wrestling promotions? I could tell you of at least three over the last year. I'm not going to say who they are, but as soon as I say this, you'll know who they are. How many times have you seen on social media? And the only reason why I'm saying a woman right now is because the last three times I've seen it, it's women, where they'll say, you know, I'm busting my ass. I'm doing the right thing. I'm working my ass off of doing this, that, and I can't get noticed. I can't get work. Nobody wants to give me a shot, you know, and they put it out there on social media. And I could tell you two of those three women, now have work. They have work. But, you know, it can be very, very frustrating at times. And you know what those two women did? They just kept working, working, working. They voiced their frustration, but they kept working, working. They didn't take no shortcuts. They didn't go psycho. They didn't do anything weird. You know, they didn't do anything, you know, like forcing it. And finally, somebody noticed them. You can't force it. Even with people with podcasting, there's a guy, I don't want to say who he is, but he advertised with me not too long ago. And I said, look, you know, I'll plug your stuff. I'll put it out there. It's up to everyone else if they want to tune in or not. And, you know, I plugged it a little bit. And after that, you know, that's it. And, you know, the person ended up, you know, no longer like advertising with me. But then I got a really nasty message a couple of weeks ago saying like, man, you know, it feels like you only did it because I paid you. And I looked at his channel yesterday because I had subscribed to it. I watched it. He's a new guy, and I didn't think he was very good, but I was horrendous when I started with my hotline in 97. I was awful. So, you know, you keep at it, you learn, you improve. It could take years. But what I noticed yesterday is he has not updated. He's not done a show in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, actually. And the last two shows that he did, one of them got 3 views, and the other one, I think, got 1. And I felt bad for the guy. But the thing is that there is no magic plug recommendation, you know, that's going to get you views, followers. You know, some people do it with clickbait. Some people do it using sexuality. Some people will do it in other ways. But, you know, you can't force people out there to recognize you, people in podcasting. I know for sure there's a few people right now in the podcasting world that are beyond frustrated that they can't get anybody to hire them so they can make ad revenue and other things. And they feel that they are the best of the best, and they don't understand how come nobody seeks he or she out, and you just can't force it, you know? Did I ever in a million years ever think that Blue Wire and Pro Wrestling TV were going to approach me? No. It's still kind of unbelievable when you think about it. But, you know, as I always say to everyone out there, you never know who's tuning in, but you can't force it. So, Byron Cutler, how many surprise entrances do I think they're going to get in both Royal Rumble matches next year? I couldn't put a number on it, but I will say that I think we may get another Impact wrestler showing up. I think we may see someone on the indie circuit make an appearance. You know, I think the odds are elevated now with Triple H at the helm. You know, but understand that WWE is always going to look out to benefit themselves more than anything. Even if they had a wrestler from another promotion make an appearance, and even if it seems that WWE won't get much out of it beyond the Royal Rumble, and maybe it helps this individual wrestler than anything else, but sometimes it's just to give the appearance that, look, Forbidden Door, our door is open, we're willing to work with people. So if you want to give that narrative, then you do something like that. So we will see some returns. We will see some surprises. You will see some wrestlers of yesteryear. You know, a lot of people think that Sean Waltman will be in the Royal Rumble coming this time around. And that's pretty cool. If I get to see a wrestler from yesteryear and they look fine and they can still do it even for a minute or two, hey, it's like old timers day. You know, sure. Some people will look at it and say, wow, you know, so-and-so was not in the Royal Rumble this year. So-and-so could have had that spot. And yeah, I agree. Absolutely. But you know what? There's many more years that that person could appear in a Royal Rumble. And maybe for the other person, the Hall of Famer, maybe that's the last one. So, you know, I don't put much weight into it. So, Xander Elian, what are my thoughts on Nakamura versus Great Muta in January? I'm obviously a fan of Muta, a fan of Nakamura. it's his retirement. Great Muta. And, you know, it's a great way to go out. It's a great way to go out. No one's going to get hurt by this. There's no, you know, this is a retirement. It's a celebration. And, look, I think back to 1997. One of my favorite cards of all time was Terry Funk's retirement. What was it, WrestleFest? Was that what it was? The main event was Terry Funk versus Bret Hart for the WWF Championship. And Bret Hart was still WWF champion, and this was right before the Montreal Screwjob. And this, look, everybody, you know, well, not everybody. I mean, some people thought Terry Funk was legitimately going to retire in 1997. That didn't happen. But this was Terry Funk's, you know, retirement, his tour. And Bret Hart showed up and had a great match. And Sabu fought on that card. We had WWE people on that card. It was a celebration for Terry Funk. This is a celebration for Muta. So I like it. I like it. And you know what? It's going to be an emotional match, and it's going to be great. Is it going to be 5-star? No. But, you know, that's a good way to go out. So I have no issues. Okay. As a reminder, everyone, if you have a question, put it in capital letters, and let's spread it around a little bit. I don't want to keep answering the same five people's questions, so... shout out to KD to WC, who's tuning in tonight. And let's see. So Fly's asking me, what's been AEW's biggest misstep so far? Biggest misstep? People not being used consistently. People not being used consistently. You know, I mean, do I think Ricky Starks... or Powerhouse Hobbs, use Hobbs for an example. Do I think Powerhouse Hobbs, who has been in AEW for, 3 years, more than that, this is not a guy who just tried out for the NIL program. This is a guy who knew how to wrestle before. Very raw talent. My point is, they have people under contract for 3+ years who has still not been given a big opportunity. Look at Ricky Starks. I don't expect a response from Ricky Starks, and he shouldn't respond, and no one else should either. You think this guy, when he got attacked from Powerhouse Hobbs, when this was his time to break out and the crowd was into it and this and that, remember our conversation that night? Let's see a month from now. Let's see what they're doing with Ricky Starks. This is their problem. Their problem is there are so many people there that they have to rotate who gets a consistent amount of TV time. And what you are noticing now as time goes by is that AEW is focusing mostly on Ring of Honor, Jon Moxley, MJF, Bryan Danielson, you know, and a few others. But there are people lost in the shuffle, and there are people out there, you know, you look at the opening montage. And the opening montage, I mean, you have, look at the people who are featured. Those are the people that should be the focal point every week. And those other wrestlers, they don't have a developmental. Tony Khan has gone out of his way and said they don't have a developmental. So why are some of these wrestlers having to take 3 and 4 years who, when they have the experience already and still can't get any time? And don't give me Dark or Elevation. Because back in the day, people were bitching, oh, why is this person only on WWE house shows? How come this person doesn't get any TV time? Oh, we haven't seen this person in ages. You know, it's good that they're getting some work. But you know what that kind of tells me, too? That the wrestlers on Dynamite and Rampage, yeah, I don't think they want to also work Elevation and Dark. So they have all these other people that fill Elevation and Dark because the guys and gals featured on regular TV every week don't want to work those YouTube shows. So that is their biggest problem. Ricky Starks, if he was in WWE right now, I think he would have a spot on WrestleMania. I really believe that. Mark Hicks, is Money in the Bank coming back to WrestleMania if Triple H thinks it's necessary? If he thinks it's necessary. As of right now, Hell in a Cell is the only gimmicked theme pay-per-view that we have heard that may be on the chopping block. Money in the Bank, I personally think you should leave it alone. I think it should still be a themed event. It's a nice change of pace during the year. You could play around with the briefcase all you want. You know, I mean, you could do the briefcase at WrestleMania and you could have a cash in the same night. You know, that's in a very easy way. It's a very easy way to give someone a title at WrestleMania without any storyline built. All right, Cody Rhodes, he's not ready back for the Royal Rumble. There's some problems, some complications. Looks like that he'll be back, but it might be right near the WrestleMania. Okay. So we have no time to build, let's say, Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes, WrestleMania. No time to build. Cody won't be available until right before WrestleMania. No feud, no nothing, no build, no nothing. All right, so, okay, he's ready to go for WrestleMania. Oh, I got an idea. Let's do a Money in the Bank ladder match that night. Cody could be a surprise person in the Money in the Bank, wins the briefcase, and then Roman Reigns could retain his title at WrestleMania, and then Cody could show up 5 minutes after, cash in, 30 seconds, WWE champion. So you could do the briefcase at Mania, and that could be a very easy way to put a title on someone else without a build. I personally would rather see, you know, the teasing. But it's got to fit. It depends on who the people are as well. Muhammad Soria, what's going on, Muhammad? How do I take Bray Wyatt's segment seriously? We saw he was behind a mask. So does he record himself, send it to the team? We're not supposed to. This is entertainment, brother. We're not supposed to believe. We're not supposed to think that Bray Wyatt is record. You think when John Cena was wearing the NWO stuff that he didn't know that he was putting the shirt on? We're not supposed to think like that. The storyline is easy. I've been saying it for a month, but, you know, of course, most people out there don't go on other people's shows and say, you know what, DT says it's him under the mask. DT says that it's him feuding with himself. DT says it's his six different personalities. DT thinks that it's going to be a cinematic match at WrestleMania. Bray Wyatt feuding with himself with some cameos. Did I bring up Thursday early? I think I did. We're not supposed to think like that. But yeah, it's Bray Wyatt recording that segment the other day. I couldn't believe how many people this weekend that are podcasters and writers, and they're still trying to bait people that, oh, that was Bo Dallas the other day. I think that was Barry Windham. I love Barry Windham. Have anybody seen Barry Windham in 2022? Have you seen what he looks like? I mean, people can't be that dumb online. And I think it's just, hey, if I write it's Bray Wyatt talking to himself, well, that's the most logical thing, and that's kind of boring, and I don't want to have a conversation with you, and fuck you. But if I go like, oh my God, it's Bo Dallas, look at the earring! Look at the earring! Maybe that's Barry Bonds' earring. Barry Bonds! Barry Bonds! Oh, because Bo Dallas wore the fucking cross earring. It's got to be Bo! I want to put my head through plate glass windows sometimes. It's just, I like the interaction I see with the wrestling fans online. You're talking about it. And that's the coolest thing about it. Everybody's talking about it. I love the Bray Wyatt stuff right now. More and more I think about it, I don't even know if Bray Wyatt's going to have a match before WrestleMania. But it's fine. Pro wrestling has all different things. We have talking segments. We have non-wrestling segments. We have wrestling segments. We have five-star matches. We have comedy matches. We have Battle of the Giants. We have Battle of the Cruiserweights. You know, we have all different things. You know? So, I have no problem with the Bray Wyatt stuff. But we're not supposed to think like, shh, that's Bray under a mask. How does, the Bray doesn't know that he's... We're supposed to see what Bray Wyatt hears in his mind. The Titantron is Bray Wyatt's mind. Uncle Howdy is a demon in Bray Wyatt's mind. That is, this fucking hurts. Bray Wyatt is, the Uncle Howdy is try to, you know, you act like you don't have a mask. You're a liar. This is that. When we get Uncle Harper, this is Uncle Howdy. This is Uncle Harper. Remember the scene with Married with Children when Al Bundy had the evil devil on one side and then he had the other side? The devil was trying to get him to do something. Was it with a woman or something? And then the other side, he looks at him and he's like, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's a battle. This is, we're seeing what's going on in Bray Wyatt's mind. That's the story. I love Wrestling Days and I love all the podcasts out there that are teasing this and toying this and say, could it be this person, this person? They're having fun as wrestling fans. It's about having fun. At the end of the day, they didn't know what's going on, but there's others out there that are literally just trying to get hits and attentions, and they know what it is. That's why the Wyatt Six stuff is laughable. It's fucking laughable. Grayson, where are you? Grayson, supposed to be... Oh, man. Married with Children was fucking awesome, man. Love Married with Children. Married with Children is my top 10 favorite TV shows of all time. M. Hawk, do I think Chris Jericho is a hypocrite as he is doing the same thing in 2022 that he said Nash and Hogan were doing in 96? I'm a fan of Chris Jericho. And no, I don't think Chris Jericho is doing anything remotely of what Hogan and Nash did in 96. Chris Jericho has lost to some young wrestlers. Chris Jericho has won. Chris Jericho is positioning himself to be the number two person in that company. That's in my synopsis from a month ago. If you look at my synopsis from 6 weeks ago, and if you don't want to search, you know, like on all the shows, go on the top of my videos on my channel, and in that search box, just type in Danielson, Moxley, Jericho. I wrote on my synopsis 6 weeks ago that the three people stepping up in AEW trying to set the example is John Moxley, Chris Jericho, and Brian Danielson. And I'm hearing those same three names coming out of Wardlow's mouth now, Cornette's mouth, and a bunch of others. In my opinion, Chris Jericho sees a billionaire owning this company. Chris Jericho is a pro wrestler. Chris Jericho is a businessman. Chris Jericho sees that he has the opportunity to be the number two person in his company. Chris Jericho wants to position himself as someone who has tremendous fucking value. Why wouldn't you do that? If you were Chris Jericho, and let's be honest, Chris Jericho is not just focusing on pushing his friends and pushing himself. He's got Ring of Honor. That's Tony Khan's call. So no, Chris Jericho's doing nothing remotely of what Kevin Nash and Hulk Hogan did in 1996. Chris Jericho wants to see this company get bigger because as it becomes bigger and more successful, gives him more power, gives him more authority, gives him more leverage. And remember what I said over the weekend. I have nothing but respect for Meltzer. I have nothing but respect for Fightful. I subscribe to both. But when Chris Jericho, who has his own podcast, who talks all the time, there's a claim that Chris Jericho called CM Punk a cancer in the locker room, said it to Punk's face. You know, when they report that as gossip, and they never once asked Chris Jericho if it's true, they didn't go to Chris Jericho to ask him if it's true. Why? Because Chris Jericho would have told them, if I wanted to talk about that publicly, I would have said it myself publicly. Chris Jericho told that locker room in a meeting over a month ago, everyone, stop leaking dirt. Stop leaking shit to the net. Chris Jericho is telling everyone in that locker room, stop fucking doing this. That's why the news media didn't go to Jericho and ask him, is that true that you told Punk that to his face? Because Jericho would be like, what are you fucking stupid? I'm fucking telling the locker room, stop leaking this shit. We don't want this fucking locker room to look like it's in disarray. That's why the media is like, okay, we're not even going to talk to Jericho anymore. We're going to make Jericho look like this big power grab, Kevin Nash, Hulk Hogan person, because Chris Jericho is trying to shun that dirt cheat media from the EVPs and the gossip. Next, you'll see a clash between Jericho and the EVPs. You watch. Jericho will follow Cody's steps if needed. But Jericho is going to show WWE that his worth is here. Jericho's doing nothing what Kevin Nash and Hulk Hogan did back then. But everything he's doing, good for him. Good for him. Michael Gonzalez, in my opinion, which is a better gimmick, Kane or Mankind? I enjoyed Mankind a hell of a lot more, but I liked Mankind more when he was in the corner, you know, just rocking like this and ripping his hair out and just saying crazy shit. You know, Kane, you know, look, it's gimmick. It's the 90s. You know, Kane coming out there with a full bodysuit and a red mask. And then he reveals himself. Remember with the RVD stuff, and he looked like Curly. Shemp. Was it Shemp from the Three Stooges? Oh, Larry. Larry Fine. He looked like Larry Fine from the Three Stooges. I was a huge fan of Kane's. My favorite Kane moment of all time is still from WWF New York when he put his hand in through the window to give the kid the crane toys. I always liked Kane. But Mankind, when he was just totally, he totally lost it. When he was sitting on the floor with the rats. Fuck yeah. Loved it. Kane had an awesome debut. Kane definitely had a great debut. Rams fan, do I think CM Punk would go on a Jericho podcast? Punk is not going to talk to anyone. And the funny thing is, like I said the other day, this camp word that people are using now, oh man, I want to just punch people in the mouth. Someone's camp is telling, what the fuck does that even mean? Somebody's camp. It's not their wife. It's not their dog. It's not their lawyer. Who the fuck is it? Who the fuck is it? You know, a friend's cousin's, you know, best friend? Camp. Get it from the fucking source or don't get it at all. Nobody, think about the Jericho thing. Remember what I wrote a month ago? Every time you see these people writing this gossip shit, take note, you never see. We reached out to Kenny Omega for comment and received none. We reached out to CM Punk for verification and received none. We sent a comment. We contacted Chris Jericho but received no reply. We reached out to Tony Khan. We have yet to hear his. You don't ever fucking see people doing that. Why? Because, number one, they don't want to be told, shut the fuck up. And number two, because they know the answer already. You know, this is when, that's why when CM Punk did what he did, I applaud it, man. I applaud it. I fucking applaud it. CM Punk was confronting all of this bullshit, and AEW is turning into 2020 all over again. All right, we're going to start wrapping this up. Maybe what I'll do is I'll put that Sandy footage at the very end. This way, if anybody out there doesn't want to see it, you could just disconnect. So, Joe New, the story with the contractor getting thrown from a ladder with the repairs. All right, I'll tell you, everyone, two very quick stories coming out of Sandy. One has to do with FEMA, our lovely government, and one has to do with a contractor. I have a contractor that has insurance with me, and this contractor, when Sandy hit, contractors were in crazy demand at the time. Everybody's house got damaged severely. So people who could do any type of construction work, obviously they were in high demand. So one guy from the neighborhood was doing a lot of repairs for a lot of people's houses during Sandy, and he got so much work, he didn't know what to do with it. So what he started doing was he started tripling his price, and he started tripling the price of people who he had already started to do work for. And there was one customer in particular who also had insurance with me, and she couldn't afford it. he had already done half a job, her job. And then he said, look, I have to raise the price. So she ended up owing him like $7,000 more. She couldn't pay him. Not only did he not finish the job, but he put a lien on her house for $7,000. And the owner of the house's son came into my office and said, he wants to put a bullet through this guy's head. And look, I don't know what finally convinced him not to do it, but what I said to the customer's son was, look, don't ruin your life. Don't ruin your mother's life for a piece of shit like this. Sooner or later, this guy will get his. He's going to try to strong arm the wrong person and he's going to get it. That's exactly what ended up happening. He raised the price for a few other customers. You don't do that in Howard Beach, Queens. So, I don't know, it was about maybe like a year later. The story was that he was on a telephone pole. He was on a tree or something by a telephone pole and he fell. He hit his head. He went to the hospital, very serious condition. He recovered from it, but he almost died from it. The story we hear from the neighborhood is that when Sandy happened, he raised someone's electrical work. He raised the price by $10,000 and it was a former gangster. And what the gangster did was they waited a year. And one day he was doing some work somewhere and they hit him over the head with a baseball bat. And when they hit him over the head with a baseball bat, they told him, they said that you tell the cops you fell off that fucking tree over there. He said, otherwise we come back and we finish the job or we bash your wife's head in too. And when he called the cops, he said that he fell out of the tree or fell out of the telephone pole. So karma got him. Karma got him. That is a true story. You know, karma, I believe in karma, man. I've told a lot of karma stories on this show. You know, my personal favorite was the woman in the car. That woman in the car that cut me off. And when she drove past me, she's like, fuck you! Meanwhile, she wasn't looking ahead of her, and somebody pulled out of a Walgreens parking lot, and you go, boom! Fucking head-on collision. And I drove up. I was two blocks behind. That's how fast she passed me up. And when I drove up, I'm like, are you all right? You're all right? You need an ambulance? She looks at me. She's like, yeah. I'm like, fuck you. And I drove. I kept going. Fucking cunt. I haven't said that word in probably 8 years on the shows. Yeah. Karma. I believe in karma, man. Karma comes. Listen, I hate to say it, but some people out there that really tried for my demise over the last 5 years, some of them got some big-ass karma the last couple of years, man. I sit back and I watch it. I'm like that meme with that GIF file with Big E eating the popcorn. I just sit back and I watch it. I'm like, hey, you know, I have nothing to do with it. All right, one more story for you. FEMA. All right. My parents, as you're going to see the footage now, their house was on the beach. It's not cheap to live on the beach, but my father worked his entire life for that. Worked three jobs when I was a kid to support us. My father earned all the money that he got and put it all in the house. That's why when it got devastated, you know, he was going to go down with the house. So anyway, FEMA, when they went to Rockaway, they had people fly in from you could do the research if you don't believe me. They flew in people from Texas, Louisiana, Florida, all different areas to help with the FEMA claims because of what Sandy did to this neighborhood. So some guy flew in from Louisiana. Not going to say what nationality it was or anything like that, but let's just say he came from a very low income area. So some of this I found out after it happened, but he went to one of my customers' houses in Bell Harbor, Queens. And the story was, he was there to document all the damage, estimate the repairs. And when he showed up at the house, he looked at the door and he said, what do you need an $8,000 door for? And the owner is telling him, look, you know, I live by the water. There's a lot of salt and this and that. And, you know, wind, blah, 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 blah. So he explains why he needs such an expensive door. The FEMA guy goes to the other areas is like, why do you need $5,000 windows? And he's like, well, you know, the wind is coming right off the beach. Look over here. Look at this, it's salt. And so that, and every part of the house, the FEMA guy was like, why do you need this? Why can't you just have a normal one like everyone else? And the owner is like, why don't you go suck my dick? You're like, fuck you. You know, like, I live over here. This is what it costs. And this is what I paid. And this is what I need help with. And they got into this big argument. And my customer punched him in the mouth and got arrested. True story. My father never got a penny from FEMA. You know why? And you could search. It's public record. Just type in my last name. You'll see zero. Because let me tell you what FEMA was doing at Sandy at that time. FEMA showed up at my parents' house. If you look at the car, you can't see it on the video, but see this picture? Look at the date on the back of the car. That's my dad's car. November 22nd, 2022. It took FEMA almost a full month before they came down and marked the car and other stuff for removal. This devastation stood for 3-4 weeks. They could not remove anything until it was documented. So they couldn't take pictures and remove it. So anyway, long story short, when FEMA started documenting all my father's stuff and all the work, they told my father they want a list of all the contractors' names, addresses, tax ID numbers, phone numbers, and all this other stuff. And my dad, they want to cancel checks. And my father said, I'm paying some of these contractors cash. Well, we need this, 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 and this. My father's like, I'm not giving you that information. You get it from them. I'm not giving, because my father, he knew some of these contractors. And yeah, maybe some of these contractors, you know, he pays them $10,000. What the contractor does with that money, that's between him and the government. My father doesn't want to get involved with that. And the FEMA basically told my father, if you don't provide us with this information, we can't give you assistance. My father said, go fuck yourself. A lot of political bullshit. The sad part is, if you go into the really poor areas, they were treated tremendously different. And it's awful when you look back on it. That's why I don't care if Trump's in office, Biden is in office, Bugs Bunny is in office. I don't pay attention to government anymore. I make sure I'm aware of what's going on, but I don't follow it. I don't give a shit. I don't care who's in office. I care about me, my family, my friends, you, my hobbies, and that's it, my health. All right, so we're going to close out the show with about 13 or 14 minutes of video. If you like to see in real time some footage of what happened to Sandy, you're going to see it right now. I have never made this public. Only a few select people on my Patreon page saw this 7 years ago. This was October 31st, 2012, 24 hours after Sandy. You're going to see me in real time driving up my parents' block. Didn't know if my parents were alive. There was no phones. There was nothing. We couldn't go the night before because the storm was coming down, and we got permission to go over the bridge, and we didn't know what to expect. And what you're going to see right now is, in real time, the day after Sandy. This is my footage. You're going to see my father, me, my parents' house. Pay close attention. When you see things in areas that it shouldn't be, nobody placed it there. That's how wild. And the worst part is the cars. Nobody put the cars where they were. They were downstairs in garages. They were spun around like tops, like toys, when all this was going on. So what you see, when you see floors buckled and you see things bent and you see some of what you see, this is not cleaned up, nothing. My place, when you see, you'll hear me lose it. I lost it 24 hours earlier. Here is 24 hours early, everyone, if you didn't see this. This was 10 years ago today. This was the day before the storm. The worst we thought was mud and some water. This is me 10 years ago today. Let me pull this up. Those are my windows from my place.
I tried to walk over there. As you can see, I made a really big mistake. This is low tide right now, and what's happening is that...
That's their house.
when the water comes up, see the doorway? Right now, the doorway is buried by about 2 feet of sand and mud. And you can see it's almost covering my windows. When it hits high tide today, every time the water comes in, the mud comes along with it. And
so those are my windows, so everyone knows. That's my apartment. And you see the windows look like they're on the floor. That's how much mud was there. So this is the day before. It's only about another 30 seconds.
My windows are going to be, the mud is and the sand is going to be hiding my windows. So the storm shutters prevents it from shattering. I didn't realize how deep it was.
You know what's interesting? Look at the wood my father put up. My father thought this wood was going to stop Sandy from infecting his house. I'm going to see if I could try to pause it. You'll see it for a split second, but it's going to blow your mind. Watch this. And the sandbags, watch. Yep, there you go. That's what my father thought was going to stop Sandy. That's my dad. Those are the wooden. I don't know what the orange was for, but he put sandbags also. And you see that open area? That's the garage. Okay, so this is 10 years ago today, October 30th or 29th. Yeah, no, it was October 29th. So the nighttime. So let's finish this up. Now you're going to see in real time what I saw 10 years ago. Sandy, this is my family's damage. Sorry if you hear me get very emotional. See how rough that block was? That's how much mud was filled up. I don't know what I'm going to see when I drive up to my family's house. My family's house, just so you know, when you see me driving up that street, my family's house is the last house on the left. I know that is the name of a famous movie, but their house is the last house on the left. So when you see it getting towards the end, just pay attention to the last house on the left. What you're going to see is unedited. I mean, I trimmed it down. You know, there's about 30 minutes of video, but this is half of it. And it you'll see it. Sit back, relax, see what went down 10 years ago today. Oh, wait, whoa, whoa, sorry. Doesn't look good. This looks better.
That's right. Just keep walking. Yeah.
You can't turn them on a second. Is that his bricks?
That his bricks? Oh.
My father's bricks were found half a block away.
Take your food. Just take this for now.
We had to park over there. We had to walk it.
Yeah, I'll bring it in a minute.
Like my shoes?
You gotta go in this way. My parents. Yeah.
Get ready. This is fucked up.
See, from here, it's, oh my God.
My dad's Jaguar. My dad's Caddy.
Jesus Christ. Dad. I forgot my camcorder at home, the battery, so I got shooting some video over here. You gotta take as much footage.
Did you take your pants off?
No, I didn't. Okay.
Here.
My dad was in shock.
Hot pockets.
Go inside. Mommy's in the room.
Yeah. Let me while I'm down here.
This is the garage. Wait till you see my house.
Walk down. There's no houses, right?
Anthony.
Huh? What? What?
Anthony, come here.
I don't know how we can drive.
Anthony, come here.
Come on. Don't walk on these columns.
I'm going to go this way.
Anthony.
What? Listen to me. See that?
The house is this house is on an angle. You see that? The whole foundation came up. Now you're going to see my house. This is my apartment right here. And my windows is me. I started crying. It's my apartment.
This was my dining room. That was my living room. And to think that I left here a couple hours before because I was nervous that I wouldn't have enough time to get out of here with my dog. Yeah, I'm a pussy. I'm crying a little bit. What's up?
The ball got washed out to sea.
Kitchen.
See my cabinet.
If I would have stood here, I didn't go home.
I'm shaking. Jesus Sorry about Christ. The shaking. Look at those other houses, man. Look at this. See all the foundation? It was literally on an angle. Look at how the street buckled. That's where his cars ended up.
Still shooting. Let's go upstairs.
Huh?
I want to go inside.
You'll see the floor buckled up in my parents' house. I still don't know how the fuck they survived this. This was all underwater. See the floor buckled.
I'm not.
Yeah, don't walk over there.
I'm not.
Here's where you can see the foundation was really crashed in. The house sunk in, see?
We'll take a still shot of
I already looked from the beach area.
It sunk in.
There's all your furniture over here.
What?
No?
Yeah.
Oh,
know, so I could get through the garage to the other side.
Walk under the building.
The Spanish guy was under the building.
Can't see it, but all on the left, that house was destroyed. On the right, a house went out to sea. The house is not even there. Couch.
I have an ugly pair of brown shoes here. It'd be funny if they. I hope they got swept out to sea. Holy shit.
There's
your couch.
We're fast. Let me just think of where this is. This is mom's bedroom. So this is okay.
No, this is. Oh, you mean upstairs?
Yeah.
That was my kitchen.
I know, I saw it.
See how I pushed the van? That's all in from my place.
That looks like my microwave.
Should have got
yard? Yeah.
I think you got some good footage here in the yard. Watch this.
Pool collapsed and all the water went in this way and that's what knocked out your apartment.
Wow. Well, the daddy's chairs and everything. I see, this is, I know exactly what this is. This is my car leather cleaner. Let's see. I can't pull it out. Maybe I can. Oh, no. Ketchup.
Ketchup.
I wonder if this still works. My fly swatter should say, gotcha. Nope.
Surreal to see this, though.
This was my unit. This is my place. That's all my stuff in there. This looks like my refrigerator. I can't really see. And there's so much mud in here, too. This was my laundry room, I believe.
See the crack in the foundation?
I was telling my father while I wasn't recording, I don't know how he's going to rebuild, because if you look at how close the ocean is now, and the storm is gone. This isn't even high tide. This is low tide. The ocean is like tremendously closer than it was before. I don't know how anybody can rebuild over here. Cars were in the garage over here. The water lifted them up, spinned them upside down in here. My father saw it, lifted it out to the sidewalk, and then they started spinning around and around and around.
I think it's just about finished.
Where's the truck you was talking about? Oh, they dropped everything off already? Oh, okay. You want to get that stuff for them?
You tell me what?
I think that's enough. I have like another 15, 20 minutes of footage, mostly in the inside of the house. I had to edit it because my mom really broke down. We all broke down, and it's a little too deep to put online, but you get a good idea as far as what happened that time. It's crazy to think that, you know, they were able to rebuild and save the house. Just a very surreal time. 10 years ago today. Pretty wild. So, you know, they ended up taking a lot of measures, dredging the ocean to force it back further. Because I have footage probably about 6 months after this, and you'll see that the ocean, as a result of Sandy, was much closer to the houses than before. And as a result, when it would get to high tide, the water would be really, really close to the houses. So they literally had to dredge the ocean. And I have footage of it, too. We'll share that another time. But if you don't know what dredging is, do a Google search. It's pretty fascinating. But they literally forced the ocean to go back like 100 feet or 200 feet. It's pretty wild the way they did it. But yeah, I just figured I'd share with all of you, this being a 10-year anniversary. You know, I was checking earlier. I did not do a show. A few of you asked that earlier. I did not do a show that night because I stood here the night of Sandy. I was going to stay over there. And honestly, I'm not saying it'd be dramatic. I would have been dead like that. There would have been no place for me to go. The water came in so fast, I have nowhere to go. There's no stairs to like run up to my parents' area. I'd have to go outside. That was impossible. The only way I would have survived it is if I would have stood there and stood at my parents' unit, the second floor up. I could only envision what they saw that night. It's a topic I don't bring up. I did not bring up Sandy to my parents yesterday until we decided to take them out for lunch, you know, just to get their mind off of it. But pretty wild, man. But I did not do a show that night. Here's the wildest thing about it. I have other footage that I've never shown anyone out there. And I'm still not sure if I should show it because it makes me look like an asshole. Let me tell you, I had my boat at the time. And we'll wrap it up, but I'll tell you this quick story. I had my boat at the time. And, you know, the telephones were out. We were not allowed to go over the bridge to Rockaway, so I was not able the next morning to see if my parents were okay. So when the next morning, I thought my power was going to be out, so I decided not to do a show. Where I live, the water came up to two blocks away. I suffered no water damage here. My power never went out. When I left the next morning, I put the camera on. And I filmed myself driving through the neighborhood, But I also filmed myself walking up to the marina where my boat was. And I started laughing. And when, if I'll show you the footage. I promise you I'll show you the footage. Maybe I'll show you next week. I wanted to see what happened to my boat. And when you see the footage, every boat dock to my right, completely destroyed. Every boat dock to my left, completely destroyed. Boats on top of boats. Debris everywhere. My boat was the only boat that nothing happened to. You see me walking up to my boat. And meanwhile, across the street is my office. And you see all the damage across the street. I look at my boat. I started laughing. I said, this can't fucking be. I literally walked up to my boat and I'm laughing my ass off. And I'm like, how is this possible? I'm looking to my right. Every boat dock is destroyed. I'm looking at my boat. The only thing that happened was one piece of wood on the dock where my boat was tied to lifted up. I tied my boat like with five ropes the day before and it worked. My boat, no damage. But when you see the video, it's wild. You're almost in a twilight zone because I'm looking at devastation everywhere and my boat, nothing happened. I mean, I was literally laughing in disbelief that, you know, nothing happened to it. But I'll show you that next week. It's only like 3-4 minutes of footage. But when you see it, it'll blow your mind. You'll be like, how is that even possible? But yeah, so there's the footage, everyone. What a difference 10 years makes. What a difference 10 years makes. But I am blessed that they are still with us. I am blessed that they were able to survive it, overcome it, rebuild it. Obviously, it has changed their lives forever. And, you know, I wish I could show you that other footage, but it is too raw. It's too raw. I figured you'd all watch this and kind of get blown away by the damage, but we don't need to have a whole bunch of people sobbing also. It gets very, very deep. But bottom line is, everybody's okay. You know, so, you know, 10 years later, you know, we're okay. And I hope you're all okay as well. So I'm going to jet out of here. And don't forget, tomorrow, I already have the thumbnails made up. Tomorrow we have the Halloween Raw. Let's see. I know we're having a trick or street fight. And is Riddle and Otis doing a street fight? I think they may be doing a street fight. But tomorrow we'll recap Raw. And we'll also do Crown Jewel predictions. We'll get into a few other tidbits as well. And then this Saturday, I will be live once again for your post show. We anticipate that to be around 3 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. For those that are not aware of it yet, Crown Jewel starts this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern. So I expect the event to go about 3 hours. But obviously, the big one, it's the big one. This Wednesday, podcast Forbidden Door 3. Yours truly, JD from New York. We will be here live at 8.05 p.m. These are the topics we're going to get into. We're going to talk about Wyatt Six, Uncle Howdy, Uncle Harper. What do we think they are? Should Bray Wyatt feud with Roman Reigns before or at WrestleMania? Ariel Helwani versus Tony Khan, the interview. Tony Khan, is he a respected leader or a man-child? Can AEW backstage drama and infighting ever be repaired? Are news sites and newsletters causing unrepairable harm to AEW? CM Punk versus the AEW EVPs, which side are you on? Should CM Punk and WWE negotiate a return? Looking at Triple H's rehiring and the current push of several people that Vince McMahon released. MJF, January 1st, 2024. Is he with AEW or WWE? We will have some random thoughts on Dominic Mysterio, Jade Cargill, Marina Shafir, Omos, Braun Strowman. Was NXT shifting black and gold to developmental a good idea? Ava Rain making her NXT debut and joining the schism. Is WWE trimming their pay-per-view schedule and the gimmick events? Is that a good idea? How to get AEW to 1.5 million viewers. And obviously, as I say, as always, super chats are not required, but they are welcomed. And we will be addressing any super chats that come in, and we are going to split it right down the middle. So if there's anything else or any follow-ups that you want to hit us with, you'll be able to do it Thursday night as well. How long we go, that'll be up to probably you. I know JD normally goes 2-3 hours an episode, so we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun show. And I will say this, no matter whose side you take on this, whether you agree with him on some topics or you agree with me on some topics, or if you're just in the middle, at the end of the day, understand that JD and myself and all of you are very much alike. We're all wrestling fans. We want to be entertained to the fullest. We love pro wrestling. That's why we do it. That's why you tune in. So at the end of the day, we all care. You know, we have different views, but at the end of the day, we all care about wrestling. And that is what's most important. As much as pro wrestling has entertained us over the years, you know, we're all spoiled children, everyone. We want more. We want to be entertained more. And our goal Thursday is to entertain you as well. So I hope I entertain you tonight a little bit. I thank everybody for sending in your questions, topics of conversation, comments, and we'll do it again next Sunday. So, everyone, I'm out of here. If you enjoyed the show, hit a thumbs up. If you know anyone that'll like the channel, let them know about it. It is appreciated as always. ECW, ECW. Yeah, I had to do some quick impromptu repairs earlier. You know what sucks? I sprayed this in this room earlier, and I had a whole bunch of shirts in the room, and I didn't realize that the air, like from the gases, all my shirts were covered in glue. So I have them in the wash right now. I think I got them in the wash quick enough that it'll wash off, but it was not fun. But all right, everyone, I'm out of here. Much love. I'll see you tomorrow night, 11.05 p.m. Eastern. Halloween Raw! Happy Halloween, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now? Now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.